For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Ich warte seit Wochen auf diesen Tag und tanz vor Freude über den Asphalt, als wär's sein Rhythmus, als gäb's sein Lied, das mich immer weiter durch die Straßen zieht. Komm dir entgegen.
Hello and welcome to Gegenpressing, the Bundesliga Podcast. I'm still in St. Louis. I'm your host, Manuel Feit. He's Stefan Biankowski. Stefan, how's it going?
Yeah, doing very, very well. Not nearly as exciting as your week has been. I'm actually currently surrounded by dogs, one of which is a very temperamental bearded collie. So if anyone hears barking in the background, it's not my haters on Twitter. It's my mother-in-law's dog. So just a warning at the top of the show there. But yeah, I'm doing very well, mate, very well. And enamoured and overwhelmed by the fantastic work you've done this week, covering Leverkusen in St. Louis, speaking to fans, getting some great interviews for the show. And yeah, seems like you've had a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I think the live room that we did at Schlafly's, the brewery, I think I can't stress often enough how great they have been to give us a free room. They gave us a free room to do this event. I also want to fly over podcast in the Bundesliga, the Dortmund podcast that are locally here. I thank them as well for hosting this and putting it all together and recording it and being just wonderful people, right? And you'd probably notice I'm doing this in a hotel lobby because I'm actually going to head to Austin after we record this to do the Stuttgart-Köln game and get more content for the show. And there is an outside chance we might be able to do another podcast in a live room in Austin, so stay tuned for that. Still coming together, still a maybe, but yeah, Stefan, you have your dogs there. I'm in a hotel lobby, so I just want to apologize for a little bit of a different sound, but that's just the reality of recording stuff on the road.
Yeah, I think people appreciate it. We certainly don't sit back on the couch all year round. One of us is always somewhere on the road, but you know, that's just the nature of being a journalist. Yeah. In 2022, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Especially after COVID is over, it's actually nice to be able to be back on the road. We have a ton of topics to discuss. We're going to do this a bit different than this usually would be our preview show, right, for a Bundesliga match day, but there is this tournament in the desert, so we're not doing that this week. Instead, we're going to go through some transfer stories, and we're going to do all of that after this break.
This episode of the Gegenpressing Podcast is brought to you by Bet Online. Basketball is back. And BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. And is your continued source for all sports wagering information. BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports and events, whether that's NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, or even golf. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, to receive your rewards. That's it, B-L-E-A-V, to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts.
So yeah, I guess the big one to start with, Stefan, Pavard, Benjamin Pavard. He's making a lot of noise, and I think there is a lot of unhappiness at Bayern Munich at the moment about the noise that he is making. I think it's safe to say, too, that he's been unhappy. He's been dealing with some mental health issues as well, right? So he had to step back a little bit from the game. I think this is probably, we're probably getting to the point now where we say it's safe to say that there is a separation coming. And I guess the big question then with the separation and when it is, once it's concluded, is really where he's going. And I think you have some indication of where he might go, right?
Yeah, there's a big kind of interview he gave this week. I'm not sure who it was with. I should have checked my sources before we came on. But he was basically talking about his friendship with Olivier Giroud, obviously from the French national team, and how Giroud has been talking to him a lot about how much he loves Italian football, how much he loves Italian football fans, and how much he's enjoying playing at Milan. Mm. And when the question came up over him maybe moving to Italy, he certainly didn't dismiss it. And, you know, I think his reasons were quite sound. He basically suggested, he said, look, I've won everything there is to win in Germany. You know, I've had a lot of success at Bayern, had success at Stuttgart before that. Obviously, he's won the World Cup. So, you know, we're talking about a guy here who's probably at a stage in his career where he's been very reflective over what he has and what he can maybe still experience before he hangs up his boots. And that kind of came across to me in the interview that he was saying, look, I'm kind of thinking, almost like the way someone would maybe put their feet up and wonder where they want to go on holiday next year. You know, where can I play next? He's been linked a lot with the Premier League. And I really must admit, I find that very, well, not very bizarre, but I find that a little bizarre because, you know, he was heavily linked with moves to Chelsea and I think maybe Man United. You know, both teams were obviously looking for central defenders in the summer. And I'm just not quite sure he's still got that in him to be one of these kind of like day in, day out central defenders. I think on paper he can be a very valuable squad player because he can obviously play at right back. He's been saying more and more in recent years he wants to play as a central defender. Whether that's because he's maybe getting a little slower, a little older, or he's just got genuine interest in playing that position, it's up for it's up for debate. But you know, if there's any Chelsea and Man United fans listening to this wondering about the links to, you know, their clubs, I'd be quite sceptical about him, you know, walking into either club and being a starter. And, of course, Man United and Chelsea then went out and bought other central defenders in the summer, so I think that's kind of gone, and that maybe explains why these links to Milan have now kind of surfaced, because I think any opportunity of playing in England's maybe dropped off. And now something like Milan's come up, and I think it makes a lot of sense because, you know, as you suggested there, what's the expression, you know, a conscious uncoupling maybe coming in the summer in the sense that, you know, he's quite happy to move on. Bayern have kind of moved on as well. They brought in a new fullback who's getting more and more game time on that right side. Central defense. I mean, I think for a while it was kind of up in the air as to who would be Bayern's central defensive pairing going forward after Boateng and Alba moved on. But Hernandez has really nailed down that position more than anyone else, I would say. And of course, Upamecano, who I think is actually quietly having a good season at Bayern. So there's not really any space for him there. To cut a long story short, I wouldn't be surprised if he moved on this summer. And a move to Milan probably makes a lot of sense since there's not much space for him at Premier League clubs. But what do you think?
I actually like the move to Milan for him. I think Serie A is a good place to kind of reset, right? If you are dealing with certain issues, if you're having had a hard time in Munich, I don't know if the shark tank of the Premier League is necessarily where you want to go next, right? And listen, if you had troubles with the environment at Bayern and then you end up at, I don't know, Chelsea or Liverpool or Man United, that's not exactly easier. In fact, it might be harder, right? Because Munich, even though it is such a big club, you kind of protect it in a lot of ways because of the way the city is set up and the way the city almost protects its players. So Milan is actually in a lot of ways very similar to Munich that way, right? In a lot of ways, you would be walking in an environment where the club would really take care of you. Milan is an emerging club as well. You mentioned his relationship with Oliver Giroud, who's having a third or fourth spring now, is it, with this club? And I think that makes a lot of sense. I think Italy is also probably for his playing style makes a lot of sense as well. And I wish him all the best because I always liked Benjamin Pavard. I think he's a very talented player. He scores beautiful goals. And I think sometimes it's just the best for players to move on, right? To reset their careers because he is a great player. I don't want to downplay his talent level at all because he's a wonderful player at times. And I do think that for him, it's probably a good time to just reset the career. Stephanie, we should probably stay with Bayern Munich and a topic that just doesn't want to go away. Hasan Salihamidzic made no comments about Harry Kane yet another time. It's amazing how little they talk about a player while talking about another player that is under contract at another club. I think it's pretty safe to say at this stage that if Harry Kane is available to Bayern Munich, that they will do it, right?
Well, that's what you keep telling me. I can't seem to argue with that. You've been saying it from day one, to your credit. You know, you're making this point long before it became like a kind of mainstream transfer saga. And it makes perfect sense in a lot of ways. You know, in terms of like picking up a profile of a player, of a number nine, I feel like Bayern could probably go for someone younger. Maybe someone who's obviously probably going to be a bit cheaper. But obviously they've kind of already done that in Matthias Tell to a large extent. And you can kind of see with the Sadio Mane signing in the summer that there's also a part of Bayern that kind of wants to just kind of go ahead and buy the proven product. They want someone who's ready to slot in straight away and either help them win the Champions League or help them retain the Champions League. And that's kind of where Harry Kane's allure comes in because... You know, as things currently stand, Nagelsmann doesn't really have an established number nine, unless, of course, Tell nails in a spot, but that's probably quite unlikely. You know, we had Kevin on the show in midweek, and he was kind of talking about how impressed he's been of this strikerless formation, and I kind of agree with him to a large extent. I kind of said at the top of the start of the season that I think the strikerless formation might actually do him quite well in the Champions League. It remains to be seen where they will, but... I can understand why Bayern might get to the end of the season and think, well, you know, that was a fun experiment and, you know, it got us to the semi-finals of the Champions League, we won another Bundesliga, blah, blah, blah. But if we want to kind of make the next step, we probably do need to sign a number nine who can, you know, really, not really just plays number nine, but obviously in Harry Kane, he'd be able to bring a guy in who other players can play off of as well. He's a bit more than just a classic number nine. And I think most appealing about that is that they would be able to offer him the opportunity to obviously win titles that, for one reason or another, Tottenham obviously can't do. He's now not going to get that move to Manchester City because they signed Erling Haaland. So it kind of strikes me as a kind of situation where it suits both parties. I mean, it doesn't suit Tottenham Hotspur at all, obviously, but they may eventually have to resign themselves to eventually losing Harry Kane. And at that point, maybe they'll be happy to. If Antonio Conte sticks around and he decides that he wants money to do a proper rebuild. So maybe moving Harry Kane on for high fees may be the best thing for them as well. But, you know, I guess it's just going to kind of come down to what happens in the second half of the season, how Sadio Mane gets on, and whether Nagelsmann will be knocking on Salihamidzic's door come May and April saying, yeah, my conclusion from this season is that we can't really do it without a number nine.
I mean, he's already mentioned that pretty much at the start of the season, where he openly spoke about wanting to sign Harry Kane at the tour in the US, and it's kind of fizzled along ever since. I think there's many reasons for Bayern Munich to do this. Obviously because they can, but also because they like the profile of the player. I think when it comes to number nine, I don't think Harry Kane is as good as Robert Lewandowski, but he's probably the closest thing out there to him, right? And I think the impact too, Bayern Munich is the team that sells the most jerseys of any team in the world, right? In terms of merchandise, this would give them another boot. I think the only reason why you see someone like Cristiano Ronaldo constantly linked to Bayern Munich, and make no mistake, Mendes probably phones Oliver Kahn every single day, and Oliver Kahn probably tells him the same thing every day. It's like, it's not happening. We're not signing
this
guy.
How did you get his number?
It would be like, how did he get his number? I'm pretty sure Kahn is nice to Mendes because he probably wants to sign other guys from him as well, right? Yeah. So, but Kane would do a lot of things that Ronaldo would do for this team, only that he's actually still good, right? And that's, I think that is something that you can't underestimate. You put Harry Kane in a Bayern Munich shirt, those shirts would sell all over the world. And he would also still offer them a significant impact on the field. And I think that is, Bayern Munich will be back in the United States next year. Wouldn't it be great if they could go to a place like Las Vegas or Los Angeles with Harry Kane in the lineup? I think that is something that you can't underestimate, right?
It's a really great point, because I think maybe 10 or 15 years ago you would have talked about clubs signing Japanese players or Brazilian players, or even actually signing American players with the hope of selling shirts from their home nations. You know, I remember when Celtic signed Shinsuke Nakamura, people were going nuts for this kind of like Japanese effect, you know? Yeah. And it's understandable, but actually now if you look at it in 2022, if the best way to crack the American market, if you're Bayern Munich, or maybe not crack it, but cement your place there, would be to sign a household name from the Premier League, because we've now got to the point where household names in the Premier League are household names in America for a large extent, you know? So, yeah. I mean, I was listening to an American politics podcast and the other day, and they were talking about whether British politics copies American politics, and the guy, it was John Stewart, actually, is a very famous, you know, American TV presenter in the US, and he said, we don't want your politics, but we'll keep your Premier League. You know, so it's already kind of, it's permeated even that, it's to that extent of the culture, which I'm sure our listeners from America don't need me to tell them about. So, yeah, Harry Kane makes sense commercially as much as it does a sporting reason. I mean, I'd have my concerns. He does have an injury in him, I must admit. He is getting slower. He's also kind of retreating further and further back to the point that he's almost a number 10 himself. So, you know, I'd maybe have those concerns if I was Bayern Munich. But at the end of the day, he's a really classy player. And he's also potentially a number 9 that could play Nagelsmann's system in that sense, where he's not just a kind of bog standard penalty box striker. He's a number 9 that could slot in and play the way that Thomas Müller does right now, or Jamal Musiala does, or something right now, in that, or Leroy Sané does right now in that kind of number 10 role. So yeah, it makes a lot of sense commercially, and it probably would make perfect sense in a sporting way as well.
Yeah, I just remember seeing the impact that Sadio Mané had when he arrived in Washington with Bayern Munich, you know, and that's I kind of maybe at the time underestimated that a little bit, because thinking in Germany, Sadio Mane wasn't their biggest star, but I guess because he played for Liverpool, he did have a huge impact. And I can just imagine what Kane would do. But that's a really nice decision here in terms of what will Bayern do with the attack, is because one name that's been floating out there is Marcus Thuram, right? And we're going to package a bunch of Gladbach game players together, but I want to maybe separate Thuram from the other two that we'll talk about. Because Thuram is a really interesting player. He is with France at the World Cup. France has a lot of issues. You know, we're going to talk about another French player further on in the podcast. But at the same time, it's still France. It's still one of the best, you know, nations at the World Cup. And on paper, probably still the favorite to win it, right? Even though, you know, there is this thing that the World Cup champions never get out of the group stage, but, you know, on paper, they still have a very, very strong side. And Marcus Thuram, you know, he is on Bayern Munich's list, but I think he is someone who's on a lot of clubs' list, and probably now at the point, too, where Gladbach will have an almost impossible time to sign him to a new contract when his contract expires at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, if I was a Gladbach fan, I'd be pulling my hair out over this, because, you know, this is a player who's been frustratingly inconsistent, I think, over his time at Gladbach. Mm-hmm. He's always been capable of tremendous runs of form, scoring goals, creating goals, On his day, one of the best forwards in the Bundesliga. But, I mean, you know, whether it's his fault is still up for debate, I suppose, because Gladbach have obviously been a very kind of up-and-down team recently. They've lost a lot of head coaches. They've lost their sporting director, who was once considered the one, you know, bedrock of that club. He's moved on. He's now off to Leipzig. So I'm willing to maybe give Thuram some slack in that regard, because he's had to put up with a lot of changes at the club. But I do kind of still feel like we kind of joked about this at the start of the show, that his contract's out. He's out of contract into the season, so he'll play his socks off to get that move, and that's kind of what it looks like to an extent. And fair play to him, he's doing very, very well. However, I must admit, I do find the links to Bayern Munich a little surprising. I think the fact that he's only just been called up to the France squad as a reserve is probably a good example of maybe where he is. You know, obviously France have some of the best strikers in the world, so it's by no means a slight on him that he only just made it into the team after Nkunku was called off with injury. But I think that's probably where he is as a player. He's not a top tier striker. I think in the grand scheme of European football, call him like a second tier striker. Not that he's good for second tier divisions. I just mean he's not good enough for top tier club, perhaps. So, you know, I'd be a bit wary if Bayern would sign him with any intention of playing as a starter. I don't think they would, to be honest. I think if they did pick him up, he'd be a player that they would maybe sign as a, you know, as a backup or a bench player, Choupo-Moting Mark II sort of thing, which I'm not entirely sure if he'd be willing to play as that. I think he's probably actually far better suited to the Premier League, to be honest with you. He's very physical, he's very good in the ball, very good off the ball as well, and he's just such a useful player as well. He actually reminds me a little bit of Benzema, the way he now plays, in the sense that he's just kind of smart and very good at players playing off him. So I think he'd be perfectly good in the Premier League, but unfortunately I've got very little to suggest that he would stick around at Gladbach, unless we had another similar situation to the summer there, where I think the club and the player were maybe sitting around waiting for a big offer to come in, and it never really did. Maybe some interest from Italy, I'm not so sure, but it just depends who wants him at the end of the day, I suppose. But if he continues scoring goals like he is for Gladbach, then I don't think he'll struggle to find suitors. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see where he goes. One club who could use him is Borussia Dortmund, I think, but who I think have been linked with another player we're about to be mentioned, which I'm not entirely sure that's a good move, but Thuram would be a smart sign for them, I think.
Well, Dortmund likes to sign players from other clubs in the Bundesliga more than anyone else does, and then blame Bayern Munich for doing the same thing. I made this really tongue-in-cheek kind of tweet, although I think there's more truth to it than a lot of Dortmund fans probably like, that the Borussia Dortmund buys all the best players from the other Bundesliga teams and makes them worse. Because, you're right. I mean, this has Borussia Dortmund written all over it. And you just know that once Thuram signs a big deal, because I remember when Kevin Hutchard tweeted that Thuram has been in excellent form recently, and I just subtweeted said contract year, tongue-in-cheek again, right? You get that all the time. He's one of those players who performs when, you know, someone is waving their checkbook. That sounds harsh, but I think there's some truth to it. In terms of destinations, you know, and we're going to talk about Leipzig at the show as well quite a bit, but I think that could be a good fit for him. If Nkunku does go, I could see Leipzig say, look, we could replace one French national team player with another. There is a strong French contingent at Leipzig. They have this strong tradition with French-based players, right? You wouldn't have to necessarily get him used to the environment that he's playing at, so it would be a really easy transition for him. Of course, this is just me speculating. I have no idea if Leipzig are really in for Marcus Thuram, but that's just something that comes to my head. But yeah, you mentioned right back, left back. Those two players could also leave Gladbach. Ben Zebaini, right, and Joe Scally. A lot of American listeners are probably gonna get the interest peaked the moment we're mentioning this. I want to start maybe with Ben Zebaini first, because here's another guy that's been eternally linked to Borussia Dortmund. And that's just a rumor that just doesn't want to go away. I mean, they do need a right back, but I'm not sure Ben Zebaini is it for Dortmund. I just don't know if I see the... I see this is the kind of guy that they bring in. Everyone hypes it up. Everyone is happy that Dortmund yet again signed a great player from the Bundesliga, and then he's just going to get worse. It feels like Schultz 2.0.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Stefan Buschko kind of tweeted about it at the time. You know, he was kind of showing his disdain for the move, or not even disdain, just kind of an eye roll. Stefan Buschko, very good, big Borussia Dortmund fan and blogger and writer and podcaster. And I kind of tweeted back a sort of meme being like Borussia Dortmund wondering why they never move forward, but they also, in the same breath, just love to sign average players from clubs like Gladbach. And I think he's a perfect example of that. You know, I think he's a decent player for Gladbach. Sometimes he's a great player for Gladbach, which he showed recently against Dortmund, if I'm not mistaken. But he's not going to move the needle for Dortmund at all. And I think you're absolutely right. I think he's probably, he'd be a perfect example of the kind of systematic problem with Dortmund's transfer policy, where they spend huge amount of time and resources kind of snapping up these kids of tomorrow, or these stars of tomorrow, and then they think they can fill in the cracks with these very average players in the Bundesliga, and then they're kind of left scratching their heads why Thomas Meunier and Nico Schultz can't put up with Bayern Munich, or why they seem to falter in the Champions League, etc., etc. You know, so I think we had one of our subscribers ask if we're, you know, if Gladbach fans should be worried that he'd move on. Maybe, you know, like we said, it'd be very typical of Dortmund to sign him, but I think it'd be a terrible move. Joe Scally, on the other hand, would probably be a smart move. I don't think he's been moved to Dortmund just yet. I think it's Chelsea and Man United, but yeah, I'll let you jump in on that one because obviously you're the US men national team expert here.
If I was Joe Scally, I would stay far away from Man United and Spurs. I think that move comes way too soon. I know in the United States, every player move to the Premier League is celebrated. Like, they almost want to throw a New York-style parade every time it happens. And then I'm always kind of sitting there and it's like, he's gone to Leeds. Like, let's chill here, right? I mean, Tyler Adams and Brandon Aaronson, when they went to Leeds, I'm like, this is the equivalent of someone going to Augsburg or Bochum, or, you know what I mean? This is a relegation candidate in the Premier League. And yes, only because it's on NBC doesn't mean these teams are far better. In fact, they're about the same level. I get it, you get to watch it more regularly on what you conceive to be the big stage. But honestly, if Joe Scally goes to the Premier League, that is probably where he's going to end up. Because even if Man United or Spurs buy him, what are they going to do? They're probably going to have him in there with a bunch of other players like him and then eventually loan him out. And then you're in the lower reaches of the Premier League. If he really wants to make a step up, yeah, you're right. Maybe a move like Borussia Dortmund would be a good idea, right? He can team up with his teammate, Gio Reyna. He would walk into an environment that he knows. I mean, the other thing is, too, in Farke, he has a head coach who can actually teach him things like tactics and his playing style. And I think there's a lot of good arguments to be made to stay away from the Premier League for now, unless you become really good, right? You become at a level where you can walk into a side like Man United, or maybe make an internal move within Germany. I think that would be also something that could help you. I mean, I've spoken to Joe Scully in the past. I know this is a personality that's quite clear about what he wants. Very outspoken too. Like when he wasn't called up by the US men's national team, he would actually go and say in an interview that really be outspoken about it. It probably hurt him in the short term, but heavily helped him in the long term. And we want to have people that say what they think, right? I mean, we don't get that often enough in football. And I actually think that's a really positive trait when it comes to Joe Scally, because here's a guy that has a really clear vision of where he is in the place he is in. And when he played well for Gladbach and he wasn't called up for the US men's national team, made a really good point about not understanding why he wasn't called up. And I was pointing out that there wasn't good communication with the US men's national team. So I think this is a player who's, give him some time, right? He's obviously really talented. He's playing in a position that is in high demand. And that's my short assessment of the Joe Scully situation. I mean, what do you think? Any move like Man United or Spurs would probably come so soon for him, right?
Yeah, I mean, possibly Spurs, just because maybe they need a bit of help in that position. But yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think he's performing perfectly well at Gladbach. He's really nailed down that right back position last season. He's held on to it this year. I know Gladbach are a bit hit and miss this season, but I completely agree with you in the sense that Daniel Farke, they've got a head coach who I think is quite a good, astute, tactical head coach. And I think in time, they'll start ticking upwards. So I think the best thing for him to do is to sit tight, continue performing well for Gladbach, and then just kind of assess his options. There's no rush. And, you know, he's in a position as well that's actually very valuable because you don't come across good right-backs all that often. Because I remember last season trying to put together my team of the season, and he just naturally popped up as a right-back option because there just aren't that many good right-backs these days. So, you know, he just kind of has to stay calm, crack on with what he's doing at Gladbach, and then I guess we'll see if Spurs or Man United are serious about him. But I think for now, I think he's fine in the Bundesliga.
Yeah, also I just realized I flipped Benzebaini and Scully's positions. It's of course the other way around, left back and right back. And you're right, right backs are actually a bit more important these days because they're harder to find than left backs. Get that out of the way. So the big one, and that was actually a really big story, and I was in the Leverkusen hotel when the story broke that Nkunku was going to miss the World Cup. And I saw a bunch of Leverkusen comms people running around like headless chicken trying to find Moussa Diaby because there was obviously hope that he would get that spot, right? And I think there was a chance. I think Diaby and Kolomoani were both on the list as possible replacements. I think in the end of the day, I think it's quite fair that Kolomoani got the call-up because he's been incredible for Frankfurt. And Diaby has been really kind of hot and cold. And it's not exactly the same kind of player, so... here we are, but Nkunku, I think these links to Chelsea are so strong, and the story that he had a medical in August, right? I think outside of Frankfurt, that there is a deal in place with Chelsea to sign him for I think 60 million euros. This is a rumor just that doesn't want to go away, and I think. We were kind of talking off air, is this going to hurt this move? And I think both of us agreed it doesn't really, because while it keeps him out of the World Cup, I think the downtime is considered to be 6 to 8 weeks. So by the time the Bundesliga comes back, he'll be playing, right? I guess the bigger question is really, is he going to Chelsea or not in January? I personally think not, because Leipzig are still in the Champions League. They are making a push, and they could actually, when the dust settles, be the team that will challenge Bayern Munich for the title. And I just can't see it happening in January. What's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I kind of agree with you, to be honest with you, in that regard. If you were to look at how things are at Leipzig right now, it's a very different environment to what it was, you know, at the start of the season when these kind of rumours and stories began to surface. You know, Marco Rose came in there and he's really managed to turn things around very quickly. Quite spectacularly too. You know, they've managed to crawl back up to the top four before this first half of the season finished. They were able to get out of their Champions League group quite spectacularly. You know, I was at that game against Real Madrid and it felt like a cup final, to be honest with you. And it felt like a game in which Nkunku himself not really announced himself to European football, because we all know who he is and what he can do, but it was a night in which he was having a lot of fun saying, look, I can kind of dance in between the best defenders in the world and still do what I can do. So you could see he was having a lot of fun with it. And there's no real inclination that, you know, he's going from week to week, just kind of passing time and hoping that, you know, he can move club at the first available opportunity. Obviously, he signed a new contract. I think it was this summer. It was maybe last summer. I think it was this summer. Guardiola did
this summer, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. My understanding is that both players have contracts that, you know, although they have no official release clause, basically have a gentleman's agreement which allows the club to sell them for the right fee. Basically, these contracts were extended so the club could say they could keep the player value high. So when a Chelsea comes along, Leipzig are allowed to say, well, he's got X amount of years in his contract, so you have to pay up for him. So that was understanding between the player and the club, which I think probably suggests that a deal will get done at some point. I guess we're just going to have to wait and see what will happen in January. But the funny thing is that since this, not only has things changed at Leipzig, but things have also changed at Chelsea as well. Thomas Tuchel has moved on. Graham Potter's come in. And, you know, I think he's a very good head coach, but he's kind of had, he's struggled to the extent that anyone considering a move to Chelsea in January is probably thinking, well, I'm moving in the middle of a very tricky transition season. You know, Chelsea aren't going to be challenging for the Champions League. They're not going to be challenging for the Premier League. So, you know, if you are Christopher Nkunku, you may be wondering, well, what exactly am I stepping into here? And it's not as if Chelsea are kind of struggling for wide players and forward players as well. So he might not exactly even begin getting a starting role to a large extent, although I'd be quite surprised if he didn't. But yeah, so I think I can understand why the kind of pushes by Chelsea themselves may push to get the deal over the line in January. And of course, it's also worth bearing in mind that Leipzig already have a ready-made replacement in Timo Werner, who they signed from Chelsea, obviously. And I remember at the time we talked about this, I was just entirely baffled why Chelsea, when they were selling Timo Werner, didn't say, right, well, while we're here, why don't you give us Nkunku and we can come to some sort of agreement? But, you know, I guess the intricacies and mysteries of Chelsea's transfer strategy is a discussion for another day. But yeah, so I guess on paper it certainly could happen, but if you actually look at the sporting reason, how both clubs are kind of lining up right now, I wouldn't be surprised if Nkunku, who has always struck me as a very kind of level-headed guy at Leipzig, I'd be very surprised if he turned around and said, yeah, do you know what, I want to jump ship in the middle of a good season to jump into this kind of Chelsea circus, which it is at the moment, unfortunately.
I think it's also worth bearing in mind what's going on at Leipzig at the moment, right? The owner, Mateschitz, has died. I guess, was that last month? It's not long ago. And the club, because of that, is also in a little bit, going into a little bit of a different place, right? Minslav, the long-standing CEO of Leipzig, is now moved up into a director role at Red Bull, the actual company, right? Max Eberl is going to therefore take a very big role at RB Leipzig. I think with Minslav going and taking a leadership role at the Red Bull company, that could give you an indication that Red Bull is also going to maybe do things just a little bit different. I think for Leipzig, that's actually a bonus, having one of their guys now in charge of giving the money or not, right? Mm. And I think that's a really interesting point. I'm not saying that makes a deal more likely or less likely, but I want to point out that things have changed, right? Mm. The decision-making structure at Leipzig has changed from what it was like in August. You have a different team now in place. You have a different head coach in place. You have a different sporting director in place. And I think Eberl is now actually becoming not just sporting director, but director of sports. So he will sit on the board. And I just wonder, what is that going to do to things that have been maybe gentlemen, even if it's just a gentleman agreement, if it's not written on paper in ink, what is that going to do to decisions that were made under the old leadership, right? And I think that's really worth bearing in mind, that things have really changed at Leipzig, and it's still going to be interesting to see how it's actually going to progress, especially in the next 2 months, right, during the World Cup. I think that when Eberl finally is in charge officially, and I think they're moving that date forward, you're going to see a lot of interesting things coming out of there.
Yeah, only thing I'd also add to this, which is maybe push back on the idea that he might stick around, is that obviously Leipzig are signing Benjamin Sesko next summer, who, you know, is a central forward, but it's also worth bearing in mind for people who maybe don't follow the Bundesliga all that well, like, Nkunku has kind of developed into a central forward to a large extent. You know, he's not a classic number nine, he's not a target man, but he essentially plays off of André Silva in a midfield two. And, you know, that's something that Timo Werner can do very well. I mentioned a moment ago, that's why he could kind of slot into that position maybe. But Benjamin Sesko rocks up, and they've already got Timo Werner and André Silva there. Then you can understand why Leipzig would say, well, if we lose Christopher Nkunku in the summer, it's not the end of the world. You know, obviously he's a great player, arguably the best player in the Bundesliga right now maybe. in my opinion, and undoubtedly a very sellable asset, even if he is set to now miss the World Cup. I wouldn't be surprised if he then bounces back in the second half of the season and does very well, alongside Timo Werner, who's also missed the World Cup. So yeah, if you're an RB Leipzig fan, you can maybe quietly be crossing your fingers and, you know, counting your good fortune there. But yeah, so, you know, I think in a large extent, I think you know, as we've talked about before in this pod before, Leipzig are so good at this. They're always thinking two or three steps ahead. And when it comes to Nkunku, they've already got one replacement. They've arguably got a second one coming in the summer. That squad will be fully prepared to move him on in the summer. It just depends to see where Chelsea can convince them to sell him 6 months earlier.
Yeah, I think that's really what it comes down to in the end, right? That's the one part that I'm kind of wondering, if there was agreements for January, if they're going to push back on that because of what's happened at Leipzig. It's an interesting one. I think it's also probably one that we're going to keep on discussing on this show during the World Cup. I mean, this is the new format that you're going to see now. We're going to obviously also react to the Germany games. They had some friendly in Muscat that didn't go so well. Don't pay attention to pre-World Cup games. They mean nothing. But yeah, I guess that wraps up this segment of the first Transfer Insider Gegenpressing podcast that we're going to roll out until the season comes back. Anything that you want to add, Stefan?
Not really. If you guys enjoy these shows, do let us know. I'd like to give a shout out to our subscribers who suggested some topics for this podcast on the Substack chat app, which I think, unfortunately, you can only get if you have an iPhone. But we've been using that. I've been particularly using that since I'm taking a Twitter hiatus during the World Cup. So it's been great to still be able to chat to our listeners and subscribers through that. And if you have a cool name for this version of the pod, of this show, let us know, because I'm honestly lost for words as to what to call it. So if you have a cool name for the show, just DM one of us or something, and we'll try and use it if it's better than anything we can come up with.
Yeah, that's a good shout out. And I also want to say that if the Bluebird app is finally killed by Elon, come and subscribe to the Substack, because we'll be both there. And we actually, I'm like you, I'm going to reduce the interactions on Twitter. I'm going to post the news and the pictures of the things that I do, and that'll probably be it for a while. So if you want to actually interact, find us on the Substack. We're happy to chat there. Also because it's a lot less toxic than the Bluebird app. It's just a very nice environment. But yes, this show is brought to you by Bet Online. We'll be back next week with another show. We will have the live show that we did in St. Louis also live up on the channel. So if you want to listen back to that and some of the things that we talked about, Leverkusen, there's also some stuff on Callum Hudson-Odoi on there, which we didn't mention today. So I mentioned and talk about him as well on that show. So yeah, give that a listen as well. And until next time, auf Wiedersehen.
In Sicht. Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian, plant queen, and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wall.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way. Like, come on, Amber.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen, also a comedian, and I host people at our home. I have a great wine collection in my cellar.
Well, you mean the mini fridge?
It's a mini
fridge. It's a mini fridge. New episodes of Fly on the Wallen drop every Wednesday. Listen in as we discuss relationships, books, and keeping our sweet baby kid alive while we make laughs on the internet.
Subscribe to Fly on the Wallen wherever you get your podcasts.